And joining us once again is Scott Andrews. He is a missionary in the Czech Republic and is back with us to share the Word of God. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Excellent, excellent. I'm glad to have you back with us, and we're going to turn things over to you and let you share what God's laid on your heart this morning.
Thank you very much. The last few days, we've been talking a bit about some Czech Christmas traditions, sort of our post-Christmas wrap-up, and using those as a launching point into meditative thoughts about Christ. Today, we're actually going to talk about a part of the Christmas tradition in the Czech Republic that comes a little bit before Christmas. It's actually at the beginning of December. It's St. Nicholas Day. For those of you who may not be familiar, St. Nicholas actually was a historical person in the early church. And there's fascinating stories to look up about, like, the time that he punched a heretic, all sorts of fun things. St. Nicholas was a pretty cool dude, and we kind of fold him into a few other different historical figures and traditions to make our Santa Claus idea, but he was a historical figure. And in a lot of Europe, they celebrate St. Nicholas Day in early December, usually the 5th or the 6th of December. But in the Czech Republic, St. Nicholas Day is a little bit terrifying, a little bit traumatizing for children. It's kind of like Halloween in reverse. So what you do is you get groups of three adults. Usually it's like two guys and a girl, but it can be, you know, three dudes, three women, whatever. And they say, hey, you know what, let's do St. Nicholas this year. So they go and they get dressed up. One dresses up as St. Nicholas, not Santa Claus, but St. Nicholas. So he looks like a bishop, because St. Nicholas was a bishop of the early church. So one dresses up as St. Nicholas, one dresses up as a demon or a devil, sometimes in kind of a funny way, sometimes in a really, really scary way. And one dresses up as an angel. And they go door to door to houses in their area that they know have children. And they knock on the door, and the parents let them in. And the demon goes to the child and says, you've been very naughty. I'm going to put you in this sack and throw you over my shoulder and drag you off to hell with me. And then the kid, of course, is traumatized and crying. Mm-hmm. And the angel says, no, 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 I'm sure that this kid hasn't been so bad. And maybe if the kid sings a Christmas song or something like that, recites a poem, then St. Nicholas will forgive the child and they won't have to go to hell today. And so then the kid tries frantically to remember anything that they can. And if they sing a song or recite a poem, then St. Nicholas says, okay, yes, it's clear that you've been a good little boy or girl. And they give the kid candy, and then they move on to the next house. But so it's a very, very strange tradition to us.
Yes.
But there's some interesting things to think about. There's some things that are easy to understand for us as Christians. The first one that comes to mind is that Satan really is the accuser. The devil character isn't playing it too far from the truth there. Satan does come and point fingers at us and accuse us of things. In the Czech tradition, of course, we see the St. Nicholas character filling the role we might imagine God to play, that of a judge deciding whether to condemn or to pardon us. But here's the interesting thing I want to talk about this morning. In contrast to the Czech tradition, the Bible says that we do not have to rely upon the advocacy of mere angels to come to our defense. In the Czech tradition, the angel intercedes on behalf of the child, but we have an even greater intercessor. We've already talked this week about the birth of Christ, which is fitting for Christmas time, as well as the life of Christ and how he dwelled among us for some 33 years before his death. Now I'd like to move from there to his crucifixion, to his resurrection, and on to his ascension up into heaven. The book of Hebrews, one of my personal favorite books of the Bible, says, after making purification for sins, Christ sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's at the right hand of God. He is infinitely superior to the angels. And the book of Romans has some amazing things to say about this. I'm going to read it. It's a fairly long passage, but it just has so much power when we think about this. It's from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, like these little children are so terrified when the accuser comes. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness, so we not only have an accuser, but there's witnesses for us. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And the answer, of course, is no. None of those things can. Because when the accuser comes and throws all these horrible insinuations and reminds us of our sin, reminds us of our past, we don't have mere angels interceding on our behalf. We have the very Son of God seated at God's right hand interceding, who knows what it's like to be human, who's walked in our shoes, who dwelled among us for 33 years, who became flesh. So as we round up this post-Christmas wrap-up, let's be thankful for that. The last parting idea that came to my mind as I was preparing this was, as the little kid is trying frantically to sing a song so that they can be forgiven by St. Nicholas, the judge, how different are the songs that we can sing? Because we aren't singing to earn forgiveness. We're singing to tell the story of our Redeemer. I hope that you had a chance this Christmas season to sing songs that tell that story, and I hope that you'll continue to sing those songs and other songs about Christ's life, death, and resurrection, his eternal work as the year goes on.
That's a good word for us, Scott, and a very disturbing Christmas tradition that maybe I'm going to start at my house. I don't know. I think my kids and they could use a little of that.
One Czech friend of mine actually couldn't think of anything and actually got put in the sack and thrown over the devil's shoulder, and the devil walked like a block or two with her before he decided to let her out.
I got some kids that could use a block or two. I'm just saying. Would you go ahead and pray for our listeners?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for our listeners in Northwest Ohio and elsewhere in the country, Lord. For those who are already in Christ Jesus, those who already know him and have been baptized into his death and resurrection, Lord, I thank you that there is now no condemnation, and that when the accuser comes, as we discussed this morning, they can know, and I pray that they would know and experience as real, that Christ, your Son, is interceding for them, that he understands. And for those listeners out there who may not yet know Christ and not yet enjoy the blessing of his intercession, Lord, I pray that the words that we've shared this morning would stick in their minds, that they would think about that. Lord, I thank you that we are joined together, all of us who are listening, who are in Christ, across distances. We are all part of your body, and we enjoy fellowship with each other. I thank you for this station, for its ministry. Pray that you would continue to bless it and supply for its every need as it tries to bring you glory and bring about change in the life of its listeners everywhere. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Scott Andrews joining us. He is a missionary in the Czech Republic. And tell us about your work there and the organization you're with and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. We're serving with an organization called TEAM. It stands for the Evangelical Alliance Mission. Yes, they used the as part of their acronym. I guess EAM didn't sound very good.
TEAM is better than EAM. It's true.
Yeah. Apparently, it's an organization that's been around for over 125 years. And originally, it was going to be called the Scandinavian Christian Alliance Mission because it had Scandinavian roots, but that would spell scam, and they realized that probably for a nonprofit, there's some problems there.
Yeah, not the best marketing tool there.
But yeah, we've been working in the capital city of Prague, Czech Republic, for the past 4.5 years, working in church planting and disciple making. Also, do a lot with the arts, with music, with film, with visual arts, painting, all sorts of stuff like that. And we're also heavily involved in anti-trafficking. The Czech Republic is one of the worst countries in Europe for human trafficking and slavery. In fact, the 2017 Global Slavery Index estimated that about 42,000 people are enslaved or trafficked within the Czech Republic. And we were talking before the show about the estimation is there's about 30 to 35,000 Christians in the Czech Republic, a country of 10.5 million people. So there are more slaves and trafficked people than there are Christians in this country. So it's something that gives pause for thought. So we're working to combat that and try to find various ways both to do it directly and to engage the church to be laboring against it.
And I know, you know, you're saying before, and I couldn't even imagine this, but it's been 5 years since the last time you were here.
Yeah.
And last time you were in, you're saying, I mean, you'd been there and you say, boy, there's just not much going on as far as Christian witness. What has changed over the last 5 years that you've seen that the because some good stuff is happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in some powerful ways. Before we went over, and when we first went over, there was not a lot of fire or passion or drive among a lot of the churches and denominations towards church planting, towards disciple making, or even towards concerns like human trafficking and those sorts of things. But we've been seeing God work in incredible ways as more and more leaders over the past 5 years that we've been over there, more and more leaders are starting to see that, yes, church planting is important. There are whole communities across the country that have no gospel witness present in them at all, no church at all. And that's something that needs to be addressed if we're going to be reaching this nation. So major leaders and the denominations are starting to really catch a vision for this. We've just been receiving some really encouraging news about new developments, even just in the 6 months that we've been back in the States here on home assignment. And we've had the privilege of working very closely with one of the nationwide leaders in church planting, both within the denomination we're working with and ecumenically. And so it's been really great to hear from him all the exciting stuff that's going on and to try to contribute to that in some way.
That's very cool. It's exciting to hear some positive movement happening there.
Oh, yeah. That's lots great. Of positive things.
Wonderful. Hey, Scott, thank you so much for being here. It's always great to see you.
My pleasure.